Go ahead.
Okay, welcome. This is Cellular Wisdom, January 19th, 2020. And welcome back. This is hour two of our three-hour class together.
Thank you. So before we go on, I just want to acknowledge other people that were down in the second batch. So there were so many. So I see Anna from Italy, and Bishi, and Cindy, and Ruby, and just a moment. And hi, Martin is here, and Simila from Italy, and Anne from Utah. Fantastic. So what I would like to do is, Sandy, if you would just invite people to share. Let's, rather than reading it first at the moment, let's see who would like to share a little bit and then go through and we can pick a few at random to read. But I'd love to have you have an opportunity to share how this was for you, what the connection you felt. Yes.
So me specifically, or you're asking everyone to share, yes?
I'm asking if you will just kind of handle the sharing.
Sure. So whoever wants to share, we would love, this is such a beautiful, amazing, tender, there's the stories that are coming into the chat, the experiences are phenomenal, and we would love to hear you speak. So either raise your hand or unmute yourself. And Eleanor and I are on the lookout. If you raise your hand via the chat is easiest for us to see, but.
Yeah. And if you just swing your hand in the air, we'll see that too.
I'll let you look for that. I have to keep the screen. It's harder for me to look.
Martin, let's go to stand up.
Somebody has his hand.
Martin. Oh. Yeah.
Hi, Martin. Welcome.
Yeah, I had a really wonderful experience. My connection to my mother is not so deep, but I saw, we went in the forest and I had my horse and my dog, and not the dog, the wolf and the eagle with me. And then after a time, I felt the connection not only from my mom, it was in the whole line, moms till Atlantis. It was amazing because, and this was a really wise, wonderful woman. And I felt the whole time the connection from my mom till also to this Atlantis woman. And that was from heart to heart. I touched always this area, and I felt the connection and in this line. And there was a big healing process going on in this line. It was amazing. And the last thing was really wonderful because he sent, this wise lady sent us energy through all these moms. And all the crystals are in my room took this information and hold, also keep it and give it up. So it was really, and in the beginning, we walked in the forest and my mom walked beside me. And when we went back, she sat on my horse. It was a really nice experience.
Beautiful. Thank you so much. One of the things I forgot to say, to put in here, Sandy, is that at the end, after the third hour, Sage's partner, husband, James, is going to play a song for us that he wrote for his mom when she passed 2 weeks ago. So we'll do that at the end.
Sally, did you have your hand raised? Yes, yeah. You're unmuted.
I found it was easy for me to go to the forest. We used to, when I was in grade school in California, we would go to the redwood forests with streams and pollywogs and little frogs and chipmunks. And bring in all the animals from the Thornton Burgess books my grandmother would read to us. But it was hard to bring my mother there because she was not a forest or animal person. So that was difficult. And I realized our family really didn't do a lot of touching. When the last few years, when she had dementia and we would visit, I would do some touches on her arms, which she seemed to enjoy. And I was very shy as a child, and I've always been sort of a touchy-not with people I don't know.
Wait, Sally, something happened to your microphone all of a sudden. You were speaking and it was sounding great, and then all of a sudden
we heard whoosh, whoosh, and then yeah. You were muted.
Well, we really want to hear what you have to say.
Can you hear me now?
Barely. It's like you're really far away now.
Is there a volume on the computer for the...
Super strange, because it doesn't look like you touched anything when you were talking.
I didn't. The notebook was sitting...
We hear you.
Okay, good. I was always very shy as a small child, and I don't know how much that connects with being sort of a touch-me-not, where I'm not comfortable with strangers touching me. The team and T-Touch clinics have helped a lot with that, because I always enjoy participating in using the touches.
Your voice, Sally, say again. Did you move that book again in front of your mic?
No, I didn't. I haven't.
That's interesting. Go for it. Keep going.
Okay. Of course, I enjoyed boyfriends and then my husband touching me. This journey trying to connect with my mother in the forest was sort of enlightening. And during the break, I realized I could connect with her. She taught me to do needlework. I saw her do it. She was always knitting or crocheting or doing some sort of needlework, which I picked up and enjoyed doing. So we could sit in a comfortable room together. She liked green, with green carpets and pale green walls, and be working on something. And that was a much more comfortable, pleasant way to be together than trying to get her to go into the forest.
And I think that that's really valuable for you to find out what that connection would be, because I was the same way with my mother. I wonder how many of you were the same. We were not a touchy-feely family. And I'm really sad about that. And this is why I love to do this process, because I can imagine that, you know, she would have so loved to have been held in those last times with her. And I couldn't do that. And I can now. And one of the reasons that I, with Eleanor and Sandy and I, we wanted to share this experience with you, because I think, like, it may be only through the needlework, but you can find through your own body. And that's why I didn't start off with that, but I realized whenever I do a journey like that, whether I'm working with an animal or a person from a distance, I do it on I touch my own body. And in the process of doing that, we can create possibly a healing. Because Sally, as I said in the beginning, in our trainings in Europe, we found whenever we talked about this, everybody there in the class had trouble actually sharing T-Touch with their mothers. So there's something about this, and I believe that there's a possibility here for you know, a general healing, like Martin going back and back and back, because it's through the generations. It's always been like that. Women didn't have a chance. It wasn't okay to touch it, unless you're in the South. And I'll bet you I'd be really interested with Simila in Italy and Anna, if that was not, I guess the feeling in the Southern hemispheres, there's much more of a connection that people have. So if, just go on and say a little more, and then let's just hear if other people had the same, you know, how you felt with that. And Sandy and Eleanor, we all decided this time, you all, that we'll just kind of jump in like this. So override me, because you know me. Go ahead, Sally.
Yeah, Sally, go ahead.
When we lived in the Philippines, one of the most noticeable cultural differences was how much people touched each other. People walked down the street hand in hand, meant two men or several men, as well as boyfriend, girlfriend, or two girls or women together. They were much more physically close to each other in their culture. And I think part of that, you know, part of their culture is Spanish, but then part of it goes back over into which tribes they came from.
Right. Yep. And I've seen that too. So thank you. Let's see what we can do in our own culture, right, to change that, to connect to that consciousness, that amazing universal divine consciousness in our bodies, to connect through the generations.
Does anybody have anything else? Ooh, Lisa, where are you? Hold on. I am looking for you.
She popped up. I can unmute her from here.
Here we go. I think I did it. Lisa?
Yes.
Go ahead.
Yes, so it was very interesting. As you said, Linda, I felt quite reluctant to touch my mother, who has passed away in 2010, because we were never very touchy with each other. But my mother, she had a big arthritis in her knees and in her hands. So that's where I could connect. It was sort of, that was sort of nice to work with her, but I still felt a reluctance, or like, is it really, should I do it? Does she really, do I really? And it's interesting, because when she died in 2010, there I was away at that time in summer, and they called me from the hospital, and she wouldn't speak much anymore, but I felt the call come back, and I went back, and I took care. I washed her, and I was always with her and with my father. They were in a nursing home until she died, and it was a very beautiful time, those 5 days with her, and their tea touch helped very, very much. Touching her, because I would wash her, she could not, she was just laying and she was leaving, and people would come and say goodbye, and there was my father and so on and so forth, and I was there sort of trying to create an atmosphere of gratitude and of joy and of lightness, and doing the washings and touching her, also touching her mouth before we gave her some liquid, was very beautiful, because it was not so, it helped to transform the emotions that might have been too strong, you know, otherwise. It was very beautiful, very, very beautiful. Their tea touch was just, it was the perfect way of going through that that time. Also for my father, I could do whatever, ear tea touch and so on. But today there was a reluctance to touch her, other than the parts that I knew that would have loved to be touched, in a way to relieve pain and to help with the joints. Very interesting.
Yeah, and one of the things that I'm getting from this, from you, is this idea, how many of us, as you said, Allison, have had grown up with that reluctance. It was, you know, we didn't have a way of connecting with ourselves. And the beauty of connecting, of acknowledging and giving thanks to this vehicle, seeing this beautiful body, these bodies, as a vehicle for that universal connection, that connection to all that is, to all of nature, all of that. This is another way of being in the world. And I think I mentioned this before, there's a new recognition that there is a nature deficit syndrome that's actually being addressed medically. And this is a way of coming by connecting or having difficulty connecting with our mothers, which I expect probably the majority of you had, as Lisa did, this reluctance. And how can we make that connection through the cellular connection, through the generations, by actually making this acquaintance with our own body, with the body blessing, with tea touching the parts of ourselves to say, hello, wake up, by connecting to that divine consciousness, that source in every cell in our body. And going back to that Abraham quote that we put up in the beginning, this connection to ourselves and through our mothers, where we have such a personal connection that is really important to all of us, but many, many people I know couldn't make that. So this was our feeling for bringing this up at this time.
I think connecting with nature, or, you know, through my body, is something I practice every day, you know, which is really, but this, it's like when you say puppies that don't have this inhibition to bite, you know, it's a very, very, very old program to touch the mother in such a way other than pain relief or whatever. Very, very, yeah. It's very interesting. Thank you, Linda.
Thank you.
Who else would love to share? And maybe some people who we don't often hear from.
Well, here's one, Linda Baxfield. I've got you unmuted.
Hi. Wow, interesting conversation here. Because let me see where to start. Well, in the imagery, I did the heart hugs, the tea touches on the heart. Well, that seemed to be where my mom wanted something. And I got really clear how her heart was crying out in her life. She's more at peace now. I didn't realize that so much. And then I was able to do her arms and hands, which I was also able to do after she had dementia and would let me touch her, where before she would, you know, even a hug would be, okay, enough of that. And holding hands in the forest was, we would always walk together, but not hold hands. So she let me hold her hand. But it was interesting, the imagery was very much about her, and we didn't go back, or the animals didn't come in, the forest was there, but it was very much about me and her. But then when Martin spoke, and then the last person, Lila, was it Lisa? I started putting some things together. Some years ago, I had done a program with Jill Peirce in England. It was called, it was on The Voice, and we spent 2 days, one with our mother's lineage and one with our father's, chanting the names of our ancestors back, and then seeing the gift they gave. I was not able to go back very far with my mother, and it was very mundane, very ordinary daily gifts like cooking, washing, cleaning, those beautiful things, but very sort of cut and dried. And with my father's lineage, I went way, way back beyond the crack in the universe and saw the endowment or the, being given a purpose to help open consciousness in this world. So as we were talking in the group here, my mother was not a big toucher, my father was. And isn't that interesting that the person who was the toucher in my family, I could go back through his lineage and get the gifts. And with my mother, it's much more contained. And so I don't have a hard answer or like whatever, but I'm really getting the importance of touch. And in the same way, voice is a way of creating the vibrational cellular connection. About how it really connects us with the whole. And so thank you everyone for your conversations here to help me put together something that was started in the imagery, but then, felt limited, but now I've got more of a context.
Thank you. And I would like to invite you, as we're talking here, just allow your hand or hands to move quietly around your body as we're sitting here, connecting to this vessel. Keep coming back to this vessel, because it has not been in our culture. It's not, we haven't had a way of touching. Touching wasn't okay. Cecilia Wendler wrote in the introduction to our book, that finding a safe way of touching was not okay. And to touch to that, connect to that, to that universal divine consciousness that is all that is, that goes back, like you said, Lynn, through the crack in the universe. Interesting. And we can do that within just sitting here together, instead of just sitting here listening. Just be quietly moving your hand around your body and acknowledging this wonder that this vessel is. If we can infect you with this wow attitude toward your body, because normally we give attention to our bodies, right, when they hurt. When something is wrong, when we need to go to a doctor, when we need help, let's use this opportunity of celebrating that recognition of that universal, that amazing cellular wisdom that is in this vessel that's holding our consciousness, our self. And I mean, it's just, it's amazing to me, this opportunity together. And we want to use this to connect to ourselves. And some of these words that each one of you is bringing through, they're really precious. And Lisa Weaver had her hand up.
Oops, I muted myself. Liza, I'm looking for you. Hold on.
Liza, sorry.
Where are you? Can you unmute yourself? I'm looking for you.
I'm also wondering, Linda, after Liza speaks, maybe we could intersperse reading from the chat.
Yes.
Because they're so powerful.
Sandy, yes, absolutely. That's next. We'll do this and then.
Liza, I am trying to unmute you and I can't. For some reason,
I can't unmute myself.
Good. Okay. Thank you. Are you on your phone? Are you on your phone?
I'm not.
Oh, that is so strange. Okay, well, thank you.
Okay, well, first of all, Linda, thank you so much for bringing me back to my mom. And my mom was a frontier nurse, and she rode horseback up into the Appalachian Mountains bringing midwifery. So, and I have this picture in my kitchen, actually, of my mom standing on her horse when she was 8, bareback. The horse's little horse's name was Buck, because he liked to buck a lot. So when my mom had a great connection with horses. Let me just show you that photo real quick.
A frontier nurse. Wow.
This is the spirit of my mom right here.
Oh, phenomenal.
So, anyway.
Wait, Liza, hold it up again as you start to talk so we can really see it. Yeah. And talk, because when you're not talking, you're not in the full frame.
Okay, good. Okay. So my my mom, she's just incredibly wanting to help people and always geared in that way, but she was not comfortable with touch. Interesting, but it's just the way it was. And so as we were doing this, she really, when I used to do Feldenkrais with her, she liked a harder touch. Like, what are you doing? There's not the deep touch, you know? So anyway, we worked through that. So I was doing very gentle T-touch, and her knees also were problems. So that was sort of a doorway in. But at the end of this meditation, I've been working with this thing, a crevice in my heart. It's this big openness that I'm wanting to fill. And sometimes it seems like it's empty, and sometimes it feels like it's full. But I actually did this drawing, and I felt, even though my mom...
Hold up the drawing.
Okay. And talk at the same time.
Okay, well, crevice, and the sun is just like my mom.
Wow.
And it was like, even though my mom, from her brain, her story of herself didn't like the touch, the cells loved the touch. So when it just all of a sudden came to me, she is fully beaming with light from the touch, even though the whole story all the way through your meditation was, you know, touch wasn't, it just never got to her, but actually the deep wisdom, ancient knowledge place came forward. So Linda, and all of us, all of you, that it's just trusting that wisdom of the cells, even though I personally have my stories and everyone has their stories, there's this ancient wisdom that knows, and sometimes it might take a little while for that ancient wisdom to arise. But anyway, so that's my story about my mom.
Thank you. And this is so important, you all, because when it's safe to go to acknowledge the cellular wisdom in the cells, mm-hmm. to see this body of ours, not so personally, but as a beautiful vessel, yeah. as a part of all that is. And for us, we need to pull some of these words, like the cellular wisdom, we changed this name of this course. Because everybody that I spoke to, and I'm really interested, I didn't discuss this with Sandy or Eleanor, but they keep coming back to this, cellular wisdom. You're talking about cellular wisdom. That's what we've always been talking about. And this thing that I got, you know, in 1976 from Sir Charles Sherrington, this concept that every cell in the body knows its function in the body. What is that? How does it know that? And how is it possible? What is happening? And this is what I did a session last Saturday with several people sharing. How is it that I can do, maybe 5, 6, 1 1/4 circles with depends on the pressure, what's going on here, with the pain, and it will disappear. What is that? And it's connecting to that cellular consciousness, and whatever we want to call it, we have to be so careful what we call it. I mean, for me, it's a divine source. For some people, that's too intimate. Interesting. But when we when we realize it's, wow, it's cellular wisdom. It's this universal consciousness with a capital C, this universal intelligence. That is, if we can honor that, that's what having this discussion, how hard it is, I'm sure, for most of you to connect. So could you possibly start reading some of these?
Yes.
There was someone else that wanted to offer,
we're going to intersperse so that we can have both. I'm trying to find the beginning. So Anne said, a chance to be together in a way I didn't know when she was alive. And I just love that. That is so powerful that we can find a way to connect, as everybody's been saying, but like that may not have been possible when our mothers were alive. And Diane said, thank you for sharing your story, Sandy. My story was similar with my mother. This journey was powerful in helping me see where I still need to bring a more positive connection, even as she has transcended to her new life. And again, it's like, what is possible now with this conscious, with our consciously connecting with cellular consciousness and divine intelligence? It goes beyond our personality and how we've known even ourselves and with another and with our mom. That's our first relationship with our mother. So Sage shared, my mom passed away 2 years ago and my mother-in-law passed away 2 weeks ago. They never met on the earthly realm, and I saw them together for the first time today. That's so beautiful. My mom said to me, anything is possible. Just, yes. And initially I wrote, generations of connection is what I experienced. And Susie said reunion. And Martin shared about his connection from his mom to all moms in a line until a wise, wonderful woman in Atlantis. That's like so amazing. And Suzanne shared, we are all connected through love eternally. Elizabeth, peaceful. Not sure what Susie meant. Me is Susie. Maybe Susie, if you wanted to add to that. I know Malia wants to share also. And Lynn, I think it was Lynn who shared, right? Lovely remembrance. Her heart was crying out. She is at peace now, full of love, yet showing a little reticence physically, except for the arms, hands, and heart. And Rana, my mom was experiencing something she had never any experience with. How phenomenal is that? She was awakening to her body and to her connection to the one and all that is. She was calm and truly enjoying the adventure. She was beginning to see how she's been shut down emotionally. I don't know where, I can't see you on the screen, Linda, so let me know when.
Well, I think it's really beautiful. And what I would like to do is I'd like to just shift a little bit, because in the next hour, we're going to go to the experience with Eleanor and her mother. And what I would like us to do now is acknowledge that it's interesting that it's so much easier to connect to the body if we're dealing with some sort of discomfort or pain. It's, I think, harder in the beginning or more challenging for some if we find a place of a part of ourselves we don't like. And if we keep seeing, what I keep seeing here is I just see this beautiful vessel. What we have done in the past guided journeys is when we took ourselves out in front of ourselves and we see this this body as a vessel for our cellular consciousness, for our soul. And so what I'd like to do is now share some experiences that you all have, or some of you have, some experiences where you've been using T-Touch in the whenever, and particularly in the last while, to find a connection to your body, to find parts of you that you didn't like, that weren't acceptable, or areas of pain that you've been able to deal with. Because the more we acknowledge this and bring it out, the more it spreads through the quantum field. So we'll come back. I forget, somebody else wants to share. We'll do that after Eleanor in the next section. But I want to now acknowledge this. I had a letter from Joyce Anderson just saying how she had, I got it yesterday, an email saying how she jumped off a wall not realizing it was farther than she thought and fell on her knees and really hurt her knees. And because she knows T-Touch, she said in 15 minutes, no black and blue, no bruising, no swelling. And that's what we know is possible with T-Touch. And we want to keep bringing this back. And as we do these 1 1/4 circles, because of our class since last August, when I do them, I now am connecting much clearer with, oh yeah, this is amazing. This is this connection with all that is. And I am, this is my vehicle, my vessel for it. So any stories that you have, if there's anybody who's not used to sharing and just wants to write it in the chat, do that. But, and the power of daring to share actualizes it in a very different way. And this is what we're attempting to do, is create a safe space that we can share. So let's watch for the hands.
We have Amy from Maryland.
Okay.
Oh, and then,
And Amy, and then and then
I'm trying to unmute you.
Hi.
There.
Can you hear me?
Yep.
I've been sick. I would rather someone else read my words, but I wrote a rather long description of my story, which I didn't know. It was so grateful that you put us on this journey. What I was going to say was, a couple months ago, I fell on my floor. I'm a ballroom dancer with good feet, and right out. Landed on my face, broke my nose, got a concussion, and I picked up about 2 inches from the floor, and the first thing I did was T-touches on my nose. I don't know, it was instinctive. Huh. I did it within a second of picking up my head, maybe 2 seconds. I had zero black and blue. I had, well, maybe a teeny little piece, but basically zero black and blue. It didn't swell much at all. And most people looking at me couldn't even see it. And it actually kind of fixed my nose a little better. But it was a gut instinct, just, and I was only a few inches off the floor, and I did at most a minute. And it was shocking. I cannot read my story. So if anybody wants to read it, you're invited to, but I can't.
So if it's about your mom, we'll do it in the next hour. But that's what I mean, this thing, we have our hands. We have something that goes wrong with the body like that. I mean, isn't that like, just get that wonder that in a minute or two, we can not have swelling, not have black and blue, and the pain went, right? I mean, I feel that's a miracle.
Mostly, yeah.
It's a miracle. And we can do it. And we can spread it. And that's what we want to do, is share it. And what is the secret? Because we're connecting to this divine cellular consciousness and wisdom. Yahoo! Oh, sorry, I get so excited.
We have Wendy and Francis, and I am trying to unmute you, and I can't seem to unmute you, so you'll need to unmute yourself. I can't seem to unmute anybody anymore. Can you unmute yourself? There yeah. you go.
Yes. I have two things. One was at Thanksgiving time, we went to visit family. And when we came home, we missed snow, but there was a lot of black ice. And we were staying at a motel. And when we went to the car, it was covered in ice. And we spent probably about 45 minutes taking the ice off. But at one point I went around the back of the car and just, I didn't even know what happened. I just knew that I hit the ground. And I hit the ground on the same shoulder, Linda, that you have broken. And did T-touch wherever I hurt and continued to do that. And this shoulder, I'm sure that if I hadn't done that, I would have had a lot of pain and bruising. And I really had no bruising. And the pain, although it's not all the way gone, is pretty minimal. But the last session that I remember, you were talking about smiling and being grateful. And while we were having the session, I did that. And it was amazing because the pain was gone. Gone. The other thing that I wanted to say was, in terms of our connection with our mother, and I know you said we do this later, but this won't take long. I realized that I've connected with my mother since she died, but I've never connected in any kind of physical way. And when I was growing up, I did have a connection with my mother that was strong, but I never realized that we didn't do a lot of touching. And I just thought that's the way life was. And when we did this session, and I had the chance to actually touch her and share the tea touch, it was so much more powerful and so much deeper. And I'm just wondering if a lot of people, other people might feel like, hey, that's just the way it is. There's nothing really missing. And if they can do this, it just makes all the difference in the world.
Absolutely. And so many found it in the last few days, just before they transitioned. And I was the same way with my mother. And if our vision, when we made talked about this Sunday, was the idea that perhaps we could encourage you to reach out to your mothers. And if you touch them for some pain, if we go to the place of pain and not the emotional connection, it's too much. It's a huge thing. But when we just go to relieve discomfort or pain, and keep it real simple, then we dare to go to those places that throughout the ages have not happened. Because it's totally normal not to touch. I never did. I mean, I hugged my mom, that was it, short hug. I wasn't comfortable. She actually wanted more. I couldn't do it. And maybe we can help others who are coming along, or, you know, your children or some of your grandchildren. And know also that we can reach out and heal these wounds. And it comes through the pain. I mean, most of us came to the work who come for with dogs or horses. They came because there was a problem. So if we just find, what hurts? Yeah, a lot of people are used to that. Well, let's just, you want to try this thing? It's really interesting. So thank you so much for sharing that.
So I'm going to look for you, Malia, because you have patiently had your, where did you go? Are you there? So I lowered your hand and then I lost you. So let's.
I'm here. I had my video off, so I was turning it back on and I unmuted myself.
Your patience.
Of course. I don't know if you're unmuting. I don't know if that is, yeah, I don't know. But aloha, everyone. Such a blessing to be here on the call. Hello, Linda.
Hi.
Linda and I met recently. when we were, I was over swimming with dolphins on Big Island. I thought it was appropriate that we were sharing some other things and that we'd come back to me, because my share was a little bit different than everyone else's share, which is that I've been having this experience throughout my lifetime. I'm sorry, the color of my video is not great, is it? There we go.
That's good. No.
I've been having this experience through my lifetime that happened here, which is when the energies are really quite strong and powerful in meditation, I kind of go out, and not out as in unconscious asleep, because there's certainly consciousness and there are things that are happening there, but it's like I'm in the subconscious realm. And that was happening. It was really, really beautiful. My mother passed before I turned two. So I don't have many memories of her. I actually have interaction with her only kind of in the spirit realm. Oof, that's beautiful. I can feel that emotion. And so I felt her and we were walking together and it was quite beautiful and it was quite calm. And then I was sitting with her and kind of touching her, but it almost, that was when the outness started happening. And I went really deep and it was really calm. And then when we had our couple of minutes, I just lay there and rested in the quietness. And the reason that I wanted to share is that this has been coming up for me really deeply recently, considering the swimming with dolphins. I've also was just on Maui and around the whales. It's whale mating, birthing season right now in Maui, and they come from Alaska and there are so many. And I have started to recognize this grandness of energy when I'm around the whales is what I experience when I have this kind of going out. It's like the immensity of the oceans of the planet that are interconnected. And it's so big that I feel a familiarity now that I'm around them with this experience that I've been having through my life. And I'm also meeting sisters in front of me that are coming up to me and telling me that they are whales and that they recognize me. And what's been coming through for me is this desire, which I've always been drawn to the animals. And I actually know T-Touch from years and years and years ago when I was working with my kitty with an animal communicator, and she sent me pages of T-Touch and said, here, take a look at this. And I was doing it with my kitty. So Linda, when I met you and you said T-Touch, I was like, I know this. How do I know this? And I found the email from the animal communicator where she had sent me a couple pages. And I just shared it with my friend Mary. And it's been coming up a lot for me, this level of connection with the animals and the communication with the animals, the communication with ourselves. And what Mary and I were talking about is this beautiful idea that I thought I would share with you also of gravity, which is such a force here for us on the planet, and us falling into ourselves, and falling in love with ourselves through ourselves. And that has been quite profound since meeting you, Linda. And I'll just close by saying that what has been coming up for me is this desire to really go deeply into animal communication. And I've been kind of searching and looking for who I can study with more deeply. And of course, Linda, I don't know that that's you. I know that there are many people on this call that do that work.
No, it's Sandy right there. Sandy has a beautiful program, online program.
Okay, great. Because that feels like a channel for me to be in communication with this existing world. For me, this is our remembrance of our interconnection, but also in this depth of space of dropping into these deep places so that I'm able to be more present in the grandness and in the vastness. So thank you for letting me share.
Thank you. And this idea of deepening our connection to ourselves through working on parts of this vessel, this vehicle we have for our soul, finding those areas and acknowledging them and learning to love them. learning to love them. That's a no-no in our culture, actually. You know, it's in the Western world, don't know about the others. So I'd love to hear just who wants to, if we can share another opportunity, another story about your use of T-Touch on your body in some way.
Lisa, do you have a story?
Yes.
Great.
Because I have to get physiotherapy these days for my neck and for my head. And this is a bit difficult because this is the first thing I wanted to share many years ago when I did my certification for T-Touch for You. When we started to work on our necks, my neck was like panicking. And I had a memory coming back of being strangled in this life that had been so strong that I had totally put it away. I had not really remembered. I couldn't really remember it. So with T-Touch, first with a little very sweet orangutan, not with my own hand, I reconnected with my neck, and it was very beautiful. And I very much touch my neck every day now, but now for some reasons I have to get this physiotherapy, and I'm a little bit afraid still to give up control. And this is a real physiotherapist who hurts me a little bit. She's not like my Feldenkrais practitioner, but she has to sort of undo certain things. I don't know. So what I do when I lay that there, I found out, I use this projection that Linda was talking about of me. I put myself in front of me, and whenever she touches and I find it a little bit strong or a little bit bizarre, I imagine just smoothing with my hands on my projection. And it is wonderful. I get the best out of those therapy sessions. And it's very nice because when I do this on my neck, I connect with her hands. And this makes me connect with her, and then it becomes more efficient, and there is a different connection to the therapist, who is a very nice young woman.
And Lisa, what I would like to invite you is to ask your cells, because I forget who said it before, is that the cells wanted T-Touch, but the person didn't. And the fact is that often what I have found is that we might accept that, but our cells don't want it. So just because some physical therapist thinks they have to hurt you to be effective, this is not true of network chiropractics, for instance, but I believe we do have to protect this vessel. And when something is too hard, I mean, I'm working with a physical therapist for my hand, and she knows that she doesn't hurt me, because I don't go to that place of pain. And I'm really lucky with her. She's a PhD in physical therapist, but she doesn't go to pain. And it's not, use what you know with T-Touch. And some of you are newer to this. What we find with T-Touch is if you go to find an area that's hurting and you go to a place of pain where, that's too much. So you recognize it and then back off a couple of pressures. And I really invite you to educate her. You're paying her. She's being paid, your insurance, whatever. And do protect that vehicle. And it's great that you can put yourself out there, but ask yourselves, is this okay? What do they want? Go to that place. So I don't want to go too much into it at this point, but we haven't talked about that yet in this class, and that is whenever you have anything that's hurting, go to that's a little too much, because then the body feels it. and I can't remember if it's who said this, but maybe it was in a discussion I had with one of my Feldenkrais friends, and that is, if you work, yeah, it was Krish. Krish, if you work too lightly on a person, they can't feel it. And that's what physiotherapists are used to, because if you're in a place of pain, man, you can't feel it. And so you may feel, this is why in this 2000 person study that is written on page, I think it's 58, written by Robin Bernhardt in my sister Robin's book on T-Touch, Wrap It Up For You. And we should post this thing, Sandy, this piece by Robin Bernhardt, because it showed that the majority of people actually prefer in deep pressure. And when they prefer, because they can't feel any less. And I did what I thought was one of the most beautiful when I was doing Feldenkrais up, because I'm trained as a Feldenkrais practitioner. I did it for until 1983. That's what I was doing with Feldenkrais until the touches came to me. And I remember giving this beautiful, what I thought was a beautiful session on the father of my the father of my godson, and who was bipolar, never got any help for it, was a genius, but really a problem for himself. And I did this beautiful work on his feet, thinking I was doing the lightest thing on his nervous system. And he got up at the end and said, "Well, what was that?" And I realized I wasn't meeting him where he was at. He couldn't feel it. And this is what many people, what Krish was saying, my Feldenkrais friend, was saying, that many people cannot feel that light pressure. And that's what your physio is used to. So let her know that, wait a minute, your body's used to something different. Can we cooperate with this? And this is what for all of the rest of you who aren't doing the physical therapist, find the areas in your body that you say, oh, wait a minute, where is the pressure that's a little uncomfortable, where the cells say, honor that, and then back off. And there are some places I'm really interested to know as we go through this process in the course, that some of you will find, like on a joint, for instance, if there's joint pain there, if it's not chronic, it's just a pain at the moment, sometimes on a joint, on the fingers, I will go with a 6 or 7 pressure, as much as I can put, for 3 or 4 touches. And that's what it wants, because it doesn't want the lighter touch. So we ask our bodies that.
Linda?
Yeah.
I'm so glad that you brought that up, because what do we do in T-Touch? In Tellington T-Touch, we are taught to constantly, or not constantly, but in there ask, how does this feel? Is this too light? Could it be stronger? Is this a 1, a 2? Okay, I'm now touching you out of a 1 to a 5. I'm touching you at a 1. How does that feel for you? You know, where does that rate for you? And we find ways of asking, but we're always asking. And in Feldenkrais, we tend to ask for feedback. But in T-Touch, we really do ask for feedback. It is a thing, you know. And the other thing is why do so many people want deep touch is because there's such an imbalance globally in people's nervous systems. And when there's been experiences of chronic stress, the light touch is overwhelming. So they only can sense often the deep touch. And many years ago, you used to liken it to this story, is that you would say to us, and I don't know if you remember this, but I will never forget the visual of this, is, you know, the cowboy comes in, and do you think that I'm going to touch him lightly? No, this guy who's been used to sitting on the back of a horse and wrangling in the cattle, and he works hard, he doesn't sense and feel so much, but I want to get the message across. And you had said, this is what I got, you had said that we have to sort of hit them over the head by the proverbial 2x4, meaning we can start deep. get the message across, and then go, ah, now I've got your attention, and now let me show you how this can really feel.
Right. And the thing is, now that's how we functioned before we had T-Touch for you. That's more than 20 years ago. And the fact is, now we have the precious. And this is what, when we come back, I want to look at a few of the overview of the, before we get into your story with your mother, Eleanor, I want to go to the meat and potatoes, the techniques of the work, because now we can say, how does that feel to you? Most people have not a clue if they haven't done a lot of work. So we can say, would you like me to do more pressure or less or the same? And that is our ninth element of giving, asking for the feedback. We have to be specific, more pressure or less or the same. And then what I don't know if any of you remember this, but I asked in the guided journey, faster or slower? And I did a few faster touches on myself, relating it to my mother. And no. She wanted the slow with the pause. And how slow is slow? And I want to go into that, these techniques after. We want to make sure in these 3 hours we get techniques, we get reminders to use the work. So thank you all. Let's take a 10-minute break, Sandy. So if we end this hour session, and then you open it, Sandy, in 10 minutes with your introduction. And we'll bring up let's bring up first the beautiful mind map you made with the touches.
Okay. So we will come back at 20 after.